facilities here at Daytona International Speedway. We are going to be joined once again by some more of the stars of the pre-race show. The U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds are here. I'm going to turn it over to Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Yinling, call sign Slinga, Thunderbird 7, the Director of Operations.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, sir.
There we go. That's it. Good morning, everybody. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Yinling. I'm the Operations Officer for the United States Air Force Thunderbirds. I go by Slinga, Thunderbird 7. Up here, we have our support officers. So our Thunderbird pilots 1 through 6 are getting their beauty rest this morning in preparation for the challenging flyover, but the real work is here. And I'll let each of the officers introduce themselves.
Hey, everybody. I'm Thunderbird 8, Major Jeff Downey. My call sign is Simmer, and I'm the team's advanced pilot and narrator, so I'll be up on the grandstands with Slinga today, working the coordination and the timing for the flyover hits.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Captain Travis Grindstaff. I'm Thunderbird number 9.
Hello again.
I'm the fly surgeon for the team. Take care of 130 people on the team, as well as giving some signals today to make sure that we can do the demonstration precisely and safely.
Good morning, everyone. Hi. I'm Captain Randy Winther. I go by Smoke. I'm Thunderbird 10, the team's executive officer. I take care of all the administration for the 135 people on the team. I will also be doing a mini shine to complement Angry's shine.
She's being very humble. She's also the commander of the squadron when the commander's flying. And I'm Thunderbird 12. I'm Captain Katie Toner. I go by Agent. I'm the team's public affairs officer. And for today, you may or may not hear me on the mic.
All right. Well, we are so excited to have you guys back here. We are really looking forward to what you have going on in the air, because we're going to have some surprises in store for everybody in the facility today. So we are going to open it up to questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We can start right here with Bruce.
Which one of you took Jimmy Johnson up the other day, or they, you did? He was proud of the fact that he didn't get sick. How often does that happen when you take a non-military person up for a flight? And, I mean, is that almost like you guys have side bets on what you can do to get him that way?
No, there's no side bets. Actually, it's the opposite. When I brief folks that I take up flying, I brief them like, I want this to be an enjoyable experience for you. I want you to take this experience away in a positive light. I want you to speak positive about the experience you had with the entire Thunderbird team. And if they're getting sick in the back seat, then they're just not going to be able to enjoy that and talk positively to it. So it's never my intent to make people sick. Jimmy did fantastic. We had a pretty thorough brief. You know, Angry got to talk to him quite a bit about ways to help to mitigate, you know, some of the air sickness and whatnot. And he just, you know, as a consummate professional, did outstanding up there. We had a lot of fun.
Did you find it ironic that a guy who's driven stock cars at Daytona and Indy cars at Indianapolis gets motion sickness?
A little bit. Yeah. But, you know, it's a completely different environment. You know, you can't even equate it to riding a roller coaster or going over, you know, a hill in a car or anything. It's just, you know, you're strapped into the jet in a very small cockpit, you know, wearing all this gear that you're not used to wearing, a helmet, you know, just got things on that are pretty foreign to you. And to go up and move around in a three-dimensional, you know, space, you know, with maybe some turbulence bumps, things like that, just something that's foreign to most people, and it takes some getting used to for sure.
Are you the one who woke him up?
Are you the one who woke him up?
Yeah.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
Do we have any additional questions? I'll go up here to Alan in the front. There's a microphone coming for you, Alan.
Thank you so much. This is Alan from the Alan and Aaron Sports Talk Radio Show. I guess I'll ask this to anybody. Which, in the original Top Gun, which part of the movie touches you probably the most or impacts you the most?
I feel like we should all answer that. We're all fans, so maybe go down the line.
Yeah, I think the partnership and the friendship that Maverick and Goose had was probably the most impactful, because when you work as hard as you do in this line of work, in preparing to be the best that you absolutely can, it's those bonds, those friendships that you form that really push you through the challenging times. And I think that's the thing that resonated the most with me was the friendship that they had and the brotherhood.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing, the camaraderie that they have. You know, us here on the team, we spend 300 days a year on the road together, so we're like a family up here. So just got each other's backs and getting the mission done at the end of the day.
Yeah, for me, I as a flight surgeon, you know, one of my main jobs is the physical and mental aspect of flying and trying to keep people healthy and safe up there, especially when they're working as a team in that environment. If you remember the movie when Maverick ended up losing Goose and he had a really hard time getting back in the jet, back in the airplane, we go through that sometimes during our training when we have close calls, when we're training very quickly to get good very fast for events like this. I think what it showed in that movie, and maybe what people don't necessarily see, is just the sheer level of pressure that we're under to perform and how much we want to perform well for you. Because our main job is to come back and hopefully inspire people to pursue their dreams and live outside of their comfort zone. And every single day that we go up there and we fly, we're putting ourselves at risk, but we're so happy to do it because it's more than worth it.
Awkwardly, I haven't seen it, so I have nothing to add. Okay, I'll cap that off. Maybe I was wrong when I said we're all fans. So from my perspective as the team's public affairs officer, I'll say a couple things. Number one, a movie like that showcases the camaraderie, not just between the pilots, but the pilots and their crew chiefs, the enlisted team that makes the whole thing happen. It's really a special thing to see. And they do a really good job of showcasing the military as a whole. Yes, that's Navy, but it's very close. We're all, you know, sister services. It does a really good job of just getting people excited about aviation. So we love that. We actually went and saw the second movie as a squadron together before Smoke here was on the team. And we just loved it. And I'll just say that, you know, once again, the whole cast, the crew, the Department of the Navy, they did a phenomenal job showcasing the teamwork and what we do, not just in the DOD, but also on the Air Force side. So we just love getting people excited about aviation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
We're going to come to the far right to Terry.
Terry Sabiston, WNDB, the flagship station for the Motor Racing Network here in Daytona. Also a veteran, served 4 years, F-15s, first TAC fighter wing. But how the process to become a Thunderbird or part of the Thunderbird team? I know they came through our squadron at one point and said anybody interested, you know, apply. But how do you get on to be part of the Thunderbirds?
Great question, sir. And first, thank you again for your service. First and foremost, you have to be part of the United States Air Force. That's kind of a key ingredient in the application process. And then everybody on the team tends to have somewhere between 7 to 10 minimum years of experience in their career field, in their fighter aircraft, before you're eligible to apply. From there, we have a really, really interesting process that we've adapted and modified over the last couple years, where we have a semi-finalist round, a finalist round. Basically, we want to know, you know, everyone who applies, who's eligible, they're amazing. They're amazing. It comes down to who's going to fit in that family, like Angry mentioned. Who's going to travel with us 300 days a year? We have a motto on this team called Blind Trust. And we mean that literally and figuratively. So it comes down to who can we trust blindly? Who do we know is going to have our backs? And who are we proud to, you know, to work with, call family for those 300 days a year? Plus, you know, even the other 65, we're still together, just at home.
I'm going to go to Greg.
Greg Engel with Forbes. I was 12 years active Air Force, 11 years Army Reserve, retired in 05, and still work as a contractor for the DOD. One thing I was wondering, my call sign, Dr. Angry, which I love that. That sounds like, you know, Marvel superhero. And my call sign was Shark Bait, if it tells you how bad I was. What I want to know is, in the last couple of years, we've had some issues, you know, some struggles recruiting. And part of what you do is the goodwill and everything, but you know it's a big recruiting tool as well. How have you seen that step up in your time with the team? How has that changed to help bolster the recruiting efforts? Because obviously they're trying to squeeze that sponge as much as they can. That's for any of you guys, really.
I'll start off. You know, one of the challenging things is that you're never quite sure what your impact's going to be. You know, when you're influencing somebody that's 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, they're, when they would potentially enter service, we're probably out of the service, right? And so you have to have that trust factor that what you're doing is going to be important for the following generations of, you know, military service members. Our mission is recruit, retain, inspire. And one of the things is, you know, recruiting is obviously important, but the inspiration part of that mission is what means the most to us, and I think is where we place most of our effort. And the reason is that, you know, you look at a crowd of you know, air show attendees, and maybe 10% are going to be in that area where you could potentially recruit them into future service, right? But they're also there with their family members. And those family members, if you can inspire them, they're going to have the confidence in supporting, you know, their younger generations of family members to join the service. They're not going to be apprehensive when, you know, their kid shows up with paperwork from a recruiter 10 years from now, you know, because we had an effort in building that inspiration and that confidence and trust in the military for those, you know, influential adults in the kids' lives.
I'll add on that only about 1% of the U.S. population will serve in the Department of Defense at any given time. We understand that. So like Slinga said, we focus on that inspiration because the recruiting is a byproduct of it. The inspiration piece that he talked about, though, it's not only inspiring that 1%. The other 99% of people who watch a performance, what I'll say from my time on the team is getting to watch this demonstration every single day, it brings hope to people. So whether you can serve in the United States military or not, it can inspire you to serve your nation in any capacity that you're able to. And that really is a beautiful thing to see.
We're going to go over here to your far right.
Hi, Mike Bianchi, Orlando Sentinel for the two women. I guess this is the 50-year anniversary of women flying in the Navy. What does that mean to you? And also, what did it mean at the Super Bowl to see the all women pilot fly over?
Any time that we can get closer to having women be just naturally a part of anything is an honor, truthfully. It's incredible what diversity has done for our nation, and to be able to be a part of that in terms of our gender is super awesome. Having the Super Bowl be led by an entire team of women was like a cherry on top, so it was super exciting.
I think she said it all. For us, it's just really cool to be a part of the Department of Defense during this time. For us to have lived and been here to see the all-female crew flying over the Super Bowl is just an honor. But like she said, I think truthfully what we're working towards is full equality. So just getting that word out there that women are also fighter pilots, I think is huge, that women are also involved in STEM. You know, Randy and I here are part of the support officer team, but even that is important. You can't get the airplanes off the ground without the support team. So I think it's really cool to just see more women getting involved in the entire operation.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We are so